This is a recording from Reunions Weekend 2011 at the University of Virginia, made possible by the UVA Alumni Association. This session is a panel discussion from the class of 1976.
What you're about to see, the panel of the class of 1976, is the product of literally minutes of preparation. The amount of time that has been... Can you hear me? Fine. I'm big enough. The amount of time that was spent pondering what we're going to do today, it began in the car on the way down from New York. It's good to be back in Virginia where the sun is hot and the days are warm. It makes me schwitz, which is not a word I learned at the University of Virginia. I learned it in New York where I live now. We're going to sort of spend an hour or so reminiscing, talking about a few of the things that stood out in our experience at Virginia and in the years that followed. And here's the plan. Number one, the honor system applies here, okay? So you have to tell the truth to the questions I ask you.
Oh,
some will be surprising.
Oh.
Rule number two is that what is said in Now Hall stays in Now Hall. Now, what we're going to do is play a little game. It's a card game. I have in my pocket about a dozen cards on which the questions for today's panel appear. They are random questions. Some of them are serious. Some of them are frivolous. Some of them, I hope, will be embarrassing. So each person is going to get to pick a card. You will read the question aloud, and then you will answer. And then anybody else on the panel or anyone else in the audience who wants to answer the same question can do so. But first, so that the audience gets a sense of who you are and what you've done, let's very quickly go down the panel and answer three questions. What you do, what your passion is, and what your guilty pleasure is. Ed?
What?
You can sit or you can stand, whatever you'd like to do.
Hi, Ed Sheehan, architecture undergraduate and graduate here. I'm currently an architect in private practice and a real estate broker in Palm Beach County. And
passion?
Passion. Well, passion is travel, and probably guilty pleasure is travel now also. I am about to embark on my 83rd cruise in 20 years. It started actually when I was sent, and since I returned here for graduate architecture school, and I was familiar with the program, I was sent abroad to Ireland, to University College in Dublin. When I arrived, it was winter, no heat in the school, and the faculty went on strike. So I decided, I heard that we had a program over in London at Central Polytechnic in London, so I also on a student budget hopped in the ferry with the animals and crossed the roughest sea I'd ever could imagine over to London. And when I arrived at the school, I found out their semester was too long, so I left and went back to New York for a semester, started writing a thesis, and taught learning disability in the public school system. After I finished school, I went up to Princeton and did my internship. While I was there, I moved in for a year with my grandmother, who fed me, and my former 150-pound graduation weight blossomed up to 250, and shortly thereafter, after moving down to Palm Beach County, blossomed up to about 280. So I opened my own firm after some good experiences designing a college and government center in 1989. And 1990, the economy collapsed. And taking small steps, well, I had to fund myself, so I went back to teaching. I was teaching drafting, driver's ed, and Spanish in a local school. And then I went to a lecture on steroid-free training that Mr. USA gave me. And at 280, I figured I could cut up and one year and enter a contest. He said, if I trained with him for a year, what would my goal would be? And I laughed and said, to look like you. Well, a year later, 118 pounds off, went from 48-inch waist to 29, and 1.5% body fat from 36. I won Mr. West Palm. And while I was doing that, I became a certified National Physique Committee judge. And on the weekends for 20 years after, I'd travel judging bodybuilding and fitness shows. And I ended up training with some interesting people.
Did you ever meet Schwarzenegger?
I trained.
You have a baby with him?
I actually, Arnold. I ended up getting Golds and World's Gyms as architectural clients and building my architectural practice. And Arnold had just acquired World Gym, and Joe Gold introduced me, and I trained with him. And another day, I was training, and Jean-Claude Van Damme came up and trained with him. And I sat on the board with on a judging panel with the Stallone family. And so then I was getting everything. And I was eating 12 times a day to lose the weight. So then I got into the, by process of elimination, couldn't sell properties. I ended up in the restaurant business and then a nightclub, French nightclub, and a whole series of things. So here I am later traveling every 6 to 8 weeks all over the world. I'm the cruise fanatic with Royal Caribbean Celebrity and Princess. And as I said, just got back from Dubai, Oman, and that region. I'm leaving for Barcelona in a couple weeks.
All right. Well, Ramona.
Wow.
Ramona, same for you. What do you do? What's your passion? And what's your guilty pleasure?
Okay. Thank you, Tyler. First of all, I would like to say that I am not the love child of Arnold Schwarzenegger or John Edwards, okay? And before I get into to Tyler's question, there are four things, and this is the credit goes to someone else, but I've heard this and I thought it was important. There are four things that make life meaningful. One is something to do that's meaningful to you, someone to love, something to believe in, and something to look forward to. And I'm going to start first by talking about what I've done in the past, and then I'll go on to what I'm currently doing, which is what I love. When I graduated from the University of Virginia, I went into accounting because I knew I needed a job. And at that time, that was one of the hot markets. And you either went to the big eight firms or you went to industry. And a few people went to graduate school. I happened to be fortunate enough to interview with the top three chemical companies, DuPont, Dow Chemical, and Union Carbide. And I chose to go with Union Carbide because of their management training program and because I liked the cultural, which was very family-oriented. I ended up spending 25 years with Union Carbide before I took early retirement. My first big promotion was manager of general accounting, where I ended up working in New York City in our corporate office. And I had an office actually overlooking the Statue of Liberty. At that time, the corporation went through many changes. It was decided to move the corporate headquarters to Danbury, Connecticut. We went through the Bhopal incident, which was probably the low point of Union Carbide. We ended up having to sell a lot of our lucrative businesses to settle a lot of the lawsuits and so forth. I eventually transferred to Victoria, Texas, where I currently live. And I was controller of three subsidiary companies, and I believe I was the first controller for the company, a woman controller for the company. I did decide to take early retirement soon after Dow and Union Carbide agreed to merge, and they agreed on that in 1999, and then it was actually approved in 2001. And I decided to take early retirement because I had spent the previous 4 years on an airplane every week for 4 years. On Monday mornings, I would be on the plane 6 a.m. I would be coming home Friday afternoons, and I did this for 4 years. My mother was turning, she was in her late 80s, and I wanted to spend some time with her. And also, I didn't look forward to moving to Midland, Michigan, which was the headquarters for Dow Chemical. So anyway, I decided to take early retirement, and when my mother passed away, I inherit, inherited a lot for things. And so I decided to start selling some things in an antique mall. And I did quite well, but unfortunately the building was sold, and so that business ended. But after that, you know, we've been downsizing. Friends of mine have been downsizing. I do love antiques and jewelry and all that, and shopping, as my husband will attest. And so I decided to open my own antique and gift shop, which is my current venture. And I'm hoping to do that for the next few years until my husband retires. Afterwards, I plan to do more traveling and do some writing.
Obi?
Thank you. My name is Obi Roach. I'm a 1976 graduate of the McIntyre School of Commerce. And I was fortunate to be in the university in the 60s as well as the 70s. I started as a first-year student in 1964 and went 3 years to the university, 64 through 67, joined the ATO, the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity, and I was failed out of school, was on academic probation, and of course you can't go back to school for 12 months once you're on academic probation. So I immediately lost my 2S draft board deferment, and this was during the Vietnam era, and I was drafted by the Army. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, and working at the Casino Royal nightclub on the 14th Street Strip between M Street. You may know that area, and having a ball, but was drafted. So I joined the Navy, enlisted in the Navy for 4 years, went through the Navy. Was probably one of the few people that had a really good experience in boot camp. Enjoyed my basic training there, and became color company, but that's another story there. And got out of the Navy early. In a year and a half, I was diagnosed with a mental illness, became 100% disabled, was honorably discharged, came home and worked with my dad at his business, found out that son and dad wasn't the perfect relationship to work in, so I wanted to come back to get my degree. And my first wife urged me, you ought to come back to the University of Virginia. Oh my gosh, do you know how hard that is to come back to UVA? I want to go to an easy school. But I decided to come back to UVA, but instead of going to the college and back into economics, I decided, you know, I want to go into business. So I went to the McIntyre School of Commerce in 1974. Graduated in 76, even though it was tough being 100% disabled. My diagnosis was wrong, my medication was wrong, but that's all a different story there, another story there. But the honor code was strong, even though I wasn't able to concentrate and sleep well. Two of my professors were able to delayed two of my exams, and I was able to take two exams late, still pass them later and graduate on time, get a great job 2 weeks before graduation with a national company, the Carnation Company, in this area. I got to stay in Charlottesville. I still live in Charlottesville 35 years later. Great fortune there, and stayed with Carnation for 11 years. Joined the financial planning group after that and did investment sales, got my full Series 7 stockbroker's license, passed it on the first time. I wasn't an A student, but I was very proud of myself for passing that stockbroker's license on the first try. And later did estate planning, sold insurance with the Mass Mutual Company in those another 11-year stint with that group, but wanted to do something more meaningful, and became a mediator, a state-certified mediator, and mediated for the court systems at the Circuit Court in Charlottesville. And that's a whole different story there, how we helped families mediate before they went in front of the judge. And after that, at age 57 years old, I got a job in a boys' group home where boys were in a locked facility They spent the night, went to school, ate, slept, did everything. Instead of going to juvenile jail, these were at-risk youth, and I was a mental health specialist. And from all of the help that I got in the Navy and through all my self-help and psychiatric help through my mental health and wellness recovery program since 1971 out of the Navy, I was able to get that job as a mental health specialist in a boys group home. Worked in two boys group homes, got enough experience later to work in a private firm as a therapeutic mentor, which I've worked as a therapeutic mentor going into people's homes, becoming an in-home counselor. We counseled with boys, not taking them back into an office, but taking them out into the community, doing our counseling in two-hour stints in a car, driving around, doing that sort of thing. I stopped that last year because of state laws requiring that I have a degree in psychology. I have a degree in business. So right now, I'm doing part-time work with the Shackley Corporation as a multi-level networking business, and I've just been hired 2 days ago and a job that I've looked forward to doing. I'm a university usher at the university events, football games, events like this, so I'll be doing that too.
Good. Constance?
And my passion
okay,
is
what's your passion?
Is playing computer games, role-playing games, Guilty Pleasure. Is that my passion is actually talking to people and working with youth. Real briefly, two examples working with youth. I brought the Special Olympics to Danville, Virginia in 1972, and it's an annual event in Danville, Virginia now. We had 300 special youth in Danville in 1972, and now that's an every year event. And we started drug abuse programs in 1971 in Danville, and that's a thing that wasn't there before, and I like doing community events like that, and especially working with at-risk youth volunteer as well in the church.
Very good. Constance, take us through what you do now, what your passion is, and what your guilty pleasure is.
Okay, what I do now is I own a company based in Washington and in the UK that we specialize in production and distribution of live television content, mostly corporate and humanitarian clients, some sports clients. My passion, I would say, digging way back, I would say it's photography and business. My business in particular, I love it. Guilty pleasure would be polo.
Sounds good. All right. Now, it's going to get really interesting.
Uh-oh.
Who wants to go first?
Sure.
Pick a card, any card.
Okay.
And remember, the honor system applies, and what says here stays here.
I like the colors.
And you must read the question aloud.
Oh, and you made it big, so I really didn't have to.
I made it big. You don't even need your glasses.
Oh. No. Can you tell me the name of the late night waitress at the university diner?
Yeah.
Is that where you get girls with?
You have it?
Okay. Anybody out there before I take a panelist? Ooh.
I saw your hand in the back. Ethel is the late night diner. Did she wear the shortest skirts on earth or what?
Yes, she did.
Wait, was that where you got girls with?
I didn't know the name.
She's a policewoman.
Right.
From slinging hash and serving grills with to a policewoman. That was an easy one, right?
No, if you'd asked me what they serve there, I could have told you.
Well, now we're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that.
I want another one.
I believe Ethel.
You want another one?
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, you might.
Choose a card.
This is fun.
How have you had to adapt or reinvent yourself to stay relevant in today's economy?
Oh, gosh.
Well, reinventing myself is the architectural training for no sleep first of all, because I'm back, and I actually, for approximately 20 years, have been on a 3 hour per night average sleep regimen.
Why is that?
Well, because of the numbers of activities. Florida during the season is incredibly busy socially, with sometimes 3 to 5 social fundraising and networking events in the evening. I have the architecture practice. I still train 3 hours a day.
You know, if you took some steroids, you'd probably sleep better.
But it's, it's definitely, it's a busy, fun schedule. Yeah.
So what have you done to keep yourself in the game, relevant in your career?
Well, relevant in my career.
Or in your charitable activity.
Well,
in
my career, right now I manage a high-end community. It's a terrific schedule. It's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 4 with 8 weeks vacation. And there we have, I'm managing about 125 projects. I've had an intern. I have quite a number of celebrity residential clients. And then
like who?
Well, the for example, the Nicholas family, we've done quite a number of homes for them. My first intern from University of Virginia just finished Tiger Woods' home, is currently doing Elon's home, and Celine Dion's, he just finished.
Tiger and Elon's home?
Yes. Yeah, the our real estate office.
How's that working out for him?
Well, it was interesting because Elon was really the driving force in the design of Scandinavian modern home for Tiger and she. And then our real estate office sold a oceanfront Mediterranean sort of Tuscan style home to the wife in a gated community, at which point then she decided to tear it down and construct a new contemporary home. Which,
now, you said at one point you taught driver's education. Maybe Tiger could use some lessons from you. Ramona, pick a card, any card. A purple one.
Okay. Here's the question. Take yourself back to graduation day. What did you expect in your career, and how different has reality been from your vision? Actually, my career has pretty much followed what I had expected it to be. Going into accounting and then into business management, that's pretty much what I wanted to do. That's why I went into the trainee program with Union Carbide. I was also, during that time, I was also able to have a part-time CPA practice, and I did some teaching. I taught fundamentals of financial accounting at the West Virginia College of Graduates, and I also was a project consultant for 4 years. So I think I pretty much covered all the different jobs you can have, in the accounting field. So I'm pretty happy with what I've accomplished. Now, with my new business venture, I'm actually doing or applying more of my business skills that I have learned from UVA. With my new business, I'm actually having to plan my marketing strategies and all that. So it's been very interesting. And with full control of my business, I actually I'm enjoying it, and I'm actually applying everything I've learned at the university.
Obi, your turn.
All right. Card. What's your favorite color?
I'm going to try yellow.
Try yellow. Any yellow.
I'm going to try this one right here.
All right, it's a good
this
one.
This is a good one.
It's a good one.
Do you want the line?
All right, thanks. What would you tell Thomas Jefferson if he were here today? Well, I think about that all the time. Yeah. Right.
You done good, my brother?
Well, maybe Thomas Jefferson said something like follow your passion but he was certainly inspirational to all of us in so many ways. He was and I was certainly inspired to change in the middle of my career, leaving my marketing jobs, my sales jobs, and I would certainly thank him for the experience here. The one thing I learned here was to think on my feet and to think because of the case study method at the Commerce School, where we learned to attack problems from many different angles. It was a marketing angle or an accounting answer, or maybe the finances were wrong in this company. And no matter which way we attacked the problem of the case study, we could be right, even though all of us could be writing from a different standpoint, whether the computer angle could be the answer to the problem. So I changed my way of thinking with my job and went with, instead of the first page of my resume, I went with job search in my 50s on the second page of my resume, where all my volunteer work was with these volunteer jobs and the at-risk youth, and that's how I got off into a whole different kind of work. So I would thank Thomas Jefferson for just founding this university where I could learn to think.
Anybody? I have one. I'd like to ask him about the admission policy, how he pictured it then and how it is now. I'd like him to do a little review of how that works.
Your turn. Back to you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Pick a good one.
I like the one I got last time.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. How much of your career achievements are due to planning, to destiny, to luck, to improvisation? None of them are due to planning at all, seriously. Lot of luck, I would say, a lot of destiny and improvisation all the time. Absolutely no planning, flying by the seat of my pants, asking for help when I need it, I think was something I learned here that I have carried forth. I did not have an engineering degree here, but I'm in sort of an engineering applications field, and my best tool is knowing the right engineers to ask and to get their approval on things that I'm working on. So most of those things, there was absolutely no planning in
Let's have a show of hands. If I were to ask the question to the people in the audience, how much of where you are today in your, let's just focus on your career, not your personal life so much. How many of you would say that where you are is more the product of planfulness? Raise your hands. Planning. How many of you would say it was luck or improvisation? More, a little bit more luck and improvisation than planning.
But Tyler, can I follow that up with, I think that I was always envious of people who knew at 18 that they wanted to be pre-med.
Right.
And wow. I didn't understand it at all, or law, or business, to working for their MBA.
When they took organic chemistry, were you?
No, but for instance, I talked to Jim Robertson at lunch, who told me, you know, he majored in English Lit and he has a PhD in biochemistry. So there are those like me that were not directed, but it was more about, it wasn't the course of study or what I studied about as much as what I learned here. Because what I do is in direct relation to what I did here, not my majors.
But it was your photography.
It was from working for the CD every day for Rosemary and for Jim. And it opened the world for me. I was fairly sheltered farm girl and got here, and we'd pull our assignments off the door of the attic in Newcomb Hall where the Cavalier Daily was based. And I remember I planned my classes around where I'd be at 2 o'clock because I wanted to be up there pulling that assignment off. And it was like a new adventure every day. And I don't think I would have made the discoveries that I wouldn't have gone to the lectures, I wouldn't have gone to the events. And life is kind of like that today for me, too.
Ed, pick a card.
Okay, and then I also just wanted to add, too, I knew that I wanted to be an architect at age 5, but then I always fought it, and I always wanted to do other things, and I thought of sort of Thomas Jefferson's Renaissance man thought process of trying everything. And as I went through life, it was interesting, very positive and very negative things. And I think of the Seinfeld episode, of the Even Steven episode, where something great might happen, something bad might happen, but it levels out and you react to it and you improvise and you go on to the next thing. And through everything that I've done, coming back to the passion, the original thought process of architecture, as you know.
So you knew when you were five you wanted to be an architect.
Yeah, I had did a little floor plan and wrote a little story about becoming an architect.
So. Something like that. Next question.
Okay.
For Ed.
Do you have any tattoos?
Can we see them if you have them?
Do you?
I don't have any tattoos, but I have. It was funny that the luck, the Even Steven, and all. When I was 10 years old, I was already this height, and I looked older. And my parents thought it was a great idea for $25 for the summer to send me to Boy Scout camp. Well, on day two or day three of Boy Scout camp during a Marine exhibition, they shot a phosphorus grenade out of a bazooka, and I got up to run as I saw it coming. I got tripped, land spread eagle, and had burned this clothing, melted into the skin and down to the bones. And so at any rate, I do have some body blemishes, and as
don't we all?
And as we
don't we all?
As we progress through life,
any tattoos here?
No, but can you ask everybody?
Who'd like to admit to a tattoo?
Nobody.
It stays here. It stays right here in that hall.
Nobody.
Yes. No tattoos.
Wow.
No, I have no tattoos.
Either. Not a tattoo.
If your daughter or son wanted to get a tattoo, would you say yes? Raise your hand.
One,
yes.
Two.
Yeah.
No, mine wants to, and I'm telling him.
Ramona, your turn.
Listen.
Okay, here's the question. Did you ever violate the honor system and get away with it? Actually, no, I didn't. I was a good girl. I was a good girl, and I think that's one of the things that impressed me about the university was the honor code. The character building, sense of honor, integrity, things that Thomas Jefferson believed in.
Let's go to it's your turn, right?
Yeah. What has surprised you the most about the direction the country has taken since 1976? Surprised me the most about the direction the country has taken since 1976. Just briefly, maybe the degree of this whole entitlement generation. Just the degree that it's gone to, the entitlement generation, has surprised me the most.
Any other thoughts there? Who'd like to pick up? Constance? Mm-hmm. What surprised you the most about the way the country has evolved since 1976?
I have to think about that for a while.
I'll tell you what I think.
Obi said is very, very true in my opinion as well. The entitlement generation, as far as the country itself, I'd have to think about that to really think how I feel about that. I mean, the kind of shape we're in, we were gas rationing in 76. We have some of the same issues and complexities that we talk about now that were so bad, but we had a lot of them then as well. So I'd have to think about the direction we're going. I'm not sure it's the greatest, but I wouldn't know how to fix it either.
And I'm also a great believer in meeting the needs, obviously, of the people that are out there, because I've worked with at-risk youth. I've volunteered with a number of several churches since the 1960s, since I was in high school and in college. I've worked on the West Coast and on the East Coast with two different Methodist churches. I see the needs out there, there's tremendous needs in our country that I think individuals and people should be volunteering to work with. And I see that. It's not that I think we should not be meeting those needs, so I want to qualify that.
I think the biggest changes that I see, or the biggest surprises that I see, would be first demographics and how the country has aged, as we all have aged, being part of the biggest generation, not the, maybe the greatest generation, but certainly the biggest generation. That's one. I think the demographics that have created a more diverse, a more Hispanic America is a change that I would not have foreseen in 1976. I wouldn't have foreseen in 1976, at the tail end, I think you would say, of the progressive era, the Roosevelt era, when America was a center-left country, the degree to which I believe America has moved center-right. But I don't think you can separate the demographic change from that phenomenon as well. So those would be the big changes that I would see. Whose turn is it? Your turn, right?
Awesome.
I think it's mine.
Anybody want to pick up?
Did you ever go streaking on the lawn or in the dorms?
Yes. I mean, I'm not answering for you.
No. No, I never went. I went nearly streaking once by mistake. Does that count?
Tell us about that, and what do you mean by mistake?
Oh, do I really want to do that here?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be really quick. It was a Fiji Island party out at some barn.
I understand.
And I made a long, quite beautiful wraparound skirt and pinned some flowers at the top, and I had a halter top on, long skirt, you know, very conservative. It was in a barn, and I already said I'm a farm girl. Yeah, and I know all about rope swings, and there happened to be a rope swing above the dance floor in this barn. And my date, who really wasn't crazy about the idea, said, okay, 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 and he wrapped my skirt around my knees and got me all set to go and pushed me off. Well, the pin from my flowers got stuck on his sweater.
Oh,
my
sure.
skirt went like this, and he had it in his hand, and I swung out over the dance floor in my bikini underwear and halter top. So
oh my
that's
God.
A close.
All right.
The bad news is they thought I did it on purpose.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It
was
terrible.
Any streakers in the audience? Did anyone streak? Again. It's a zone. It's a cone of silence.
There's one.
You did not, John. You did?
Any of
right. Wow.
Tradition.
Who am I back to? I think
we're Ramona, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's your turn.
All right. What was your most embarrassing moment at Virginia?
Maybe I'll just give that one back to Constance.
Yeah, no. I've done that one already.
Well, the Easter's 1976. Our fraternity had started the four-day weekend in those days with the plunger march. We marched around with grain alcohol out of plungers and went back to the bowl and threw a couch off the front balcony of the now closed fraternity house. And anyway, we proceeded to drink, and it was the bicentennial, and it was my last year, I thought, here until I came back for graduate school. So at any rate, by Easter Sunday in the flooded bowl, I somehow, at about 8 o'clock or so in the morning, was totally inebriated and managed to cross over back to the lawn room and passed out. Well, my next brother came to see how I was doing, and I had managed to turn every piece of furniture upside down, take all the pictures off the wall, all the clothing out of the drawers, and had gone through some kind of unusual grain alcohol-induced rage.
Hysteria.
Yeah. And then, so he figured he had to try and sober me up, so he threw me in the car and we drove down to the McDonald's in Barracks Road to try and get some sobering food, and they were sold out, I think, that weekend. So it was quite a memorable Easter.
I think a lot of the embarrassing moments rotate around Easter's weekend.
Yeah. Mine certainly. Yeah, and grain alcohol.
Yeah, and grain alcohol. That will get after you. Your pick.
Okay. It says, for late night dining, University Diner or White Spot? Well, between those two, I guess I'd have to pick University Diner. Don't ask me why.
University Diner or White Spot? University Diner, hands in the air. White Spot.
That was
50-50. Look at that.
Is that Henry at the White Spot?
Henry, yes.
That was Henry in the White Spot. That's a good one. I'm going to remember that. Yeah. And what was the White Spot known for?
I thought it was Girls With and Gusberger.
The one-eyed cheeseburger.
What worked for you along the way? The risk you took or the ones you didn't take?
Ooh.
Did everybody hear that? What worked for you along the way? The risks you took or the ones you didn't take?
Well, it definitely worked when I started asking for jobs outside of my degree. When I took jobs outside of the marketing degree, working with the at-risk youth, that worked. And I really urge people to look at their passions, look at what they're doing, look at what you're doing for your hobbies and your fun work and your passion work, and see if you can do that. If you want to switch careers, that does work. It did work for me. I guess maybe I wish I'd have done that sooner instead of spending 20 years in sales jobs that were okay, but...
So take more risk.
Yeah, take more risk.
You wish you'd taken more risk
earlier.
Let's have a show of hands again. How many people would say that where you are today, what worked for you most were the risks you took?
Yeah.
How many would say you are where you are because of the risks you avoided? Yeah. More risks than non-risks, right?
Right. What about you?
In your career or personal life, what was your watershed moment, i.e. the key decision that led to where you are today? I actually know that. I have two of them. One was I had been a flight attendant with World Airways and moved from flying into management, because you can only do how many stints flying Muslims to Mecca from Indonesia. But I moved to management and was hiring flight attendants, and I was doing slide sync programs about the company, and I got really tired of doing those, so I created a slide sync program. And at the same time, video equipment came into being. And so I said, wow, can I try that? And it turned in that one point I started doing. We did the first onboard train briefing, passenger briefings. We did movie introductions that we were going to have on our planes. I did pilot training. I did all kinds of things with it, which directly led into the production that I do today. The other moment was I started working for the BBC and Austrian Broadcasting in the early 80s and got into doing their daily live transmissions. And in the mid-80s, satellites became deregulated. So I learned the business under regulation. Mid-80s, they became deregulated, and it was like a bunch of cowboys at that point. And it also allowed people like me to start my own business. So I'd say making the move from photography into production and then the deregulation that happened in the mid-80s.
How many of you had a watershed moment that you again? How many of you had a watershed moment that took you in a direction that maybe you did not expect to go? Watershed moments. There were such.
Yeah,
I had one too. It was shortly after I left here, and I was going to go to work as a kind of gopher on the Ways and Means Committee staff in Washington. I thought I would end up, you know, going back to law school in all likelihood, and working in government or in politics or in law. And one of my professors here called me. He's been a writing professor in my last semester, and he said, "Would you like to write for Time Magazine for 10 weeks?" That's all I can give you is 10 weeks on a special assignment. The money was actually better than what I was going to make. I was going to make two-thirds in those 10 weeks, two-thirds of what I would have made for a full year working for the government. And so I said yes, and that was the watershed moment that took me in the direction that I went in my career. And I never went back to law school, and I ended up staying with Time Inc. for a long time, and then moving into television and so forth. So there are those watershed moments that come up. Boy, we're getting down to the last ones here, but we're supposed to go till 3, is that right?
3, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Complete this sentence. Above all else, the university stands for development of the complete individual.
Mm-hmm. Ramona, finish the sentence.
Above all else, the university stands for equality and honor.
Giving everybody a chance, I believe in that honor and tradition, and that's all.
Constance?
Above all else, the university stands for... Is this generally or for me?
Take it wherever you want.
I'd say... Interestingly enough, learning to question authority and exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. If you were talking to today's UVA students... How would you tell them to prepare for what's ahead? I guess some of the advice I would give them would be to follow their interests and their passions, to take more risks, to focus on solutions instead of problems, to ask good questions, because I believe when you ask good questions, the answers or solutions will eventually come.
I'd like to add to not only the students to follow their heart, but to find out what's in their heart at the moment and to develop that, to develop their emotional side and to develop their mental, not only their mental side, but develop their heart and go on to following it. What is the most important thing you learned at the university? What is the most important thing you've learned since graduation? Well, the most important thing that I learned at the university is to learn how to think on my feet, to learn how to think outside of the box, I guess maybe to think inside of the box, but to really be able to be confident in myself and to think things through and know that I can get the right answer and get there. I think, and maybe the most important thing I've learned since graduation is knowing that I can do things that that maybe I didn't go to school for and get the degree for, but do jobs that I like and then have a passion for.
All right, Constance. Sure.
Oh, why do I get this? Did you ever do it in an academic building? I'd have to say no, Tyler, I'm sorry. But can we throw that open to the crowd?
Yeah, Yeah, let's throw that open to the crowd. Did you ever do it in an academic building? Show of hands. Maxie, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
What do you wish you knew during your years here at UVA that you know now? Well, I actually wish I knew at Virginia, which I and know now is technology. We've gone into a very technological world, and I'm still hand-drawing my plans. I think if I had the engineering background of the brothers and sister, it would have probably helped at this point.
Anybody want to pick up on that? Something you wished you knew?
I wish that I knew that life wasn't always so ultra serious back then. I thought life was so serious in the back then that I wish I knew that I didn't always need permission to speak up, that I was a person that I could speak up without always needing to be given permission to speak up.
I wish I knew how to pick up girls. We got three more questions.
Okay, if you were entering UVA this fall, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? I think I would have approached my choices at the university differently. I think I would have focused more on some of the social activities and the networking and maybe some of the opportunities that the university had. And maybe not concentrated so much on academics.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to what you were saying. I wouldn't have taken it quite so seriously.
Yeah.
Which one, green or yellow?
Green.
Green.
Green. In your career, which have you found to be more important? What you know or what you knew? No, what you knew or who you knew?
What you know or who you know?
Or who you know.
Which is more important? What you know or who you know?
In my career. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm thinking of my career with you. What I know, my life experiences definitely with not just the university, but growing up through my wellness recovery program and all of my programs that I had to learn with my 100% disability was definitely more important
than who you knew.
Yeah.
Let's do a show of hands there. In your careers, which has been more important for you? What you know, show of hands, or who you know? Interesting. Interesting. Both. About half and half there, I would say.
Both are important.
The last question. Yes, certainly. This is the last question.
Can't wait. Aw.
Grills with or one-eyed bacon cheeseburger and why? Definitely grills with. There is no question. I have no reason why except, I mean, who can't resist a grilled donut, glazed donut with cold ice cream on top?
Yeah.
Grills with, hands up. One-eyed bacon cheeseburger. Grills with, hands down, I would say.
How about both?
How about both? Many times.
Both.
Any other questions anybody wants to ask that I didn't think of? What? Toys? No toys.
Can we thank Rosemary and Bob for putting this together?
Absolutely. Thanks, Rosemary.
And Elizabeth, is Elizabeth here? Elizabeth? Elizabeth has been our class connection and chairman. I've gained a friend. I'm about to lose an email buddy because I'm not going to get seven emails a week from you anymore. But thank you for all you've done.
Thanks,
a
Elizabeth.
Round of applause for Elizabeth. And thank you all for coming. I hope you enjoyed it.
Great last
and,
question.
And panelists, thank you for playing along. You may take your cards home with you.
Aw, so nice.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tyler, for doing a great job.
Great.